Have you seen me dice bag?
The Grognard Files.
Hello, my name is Dirk the Dice, host of the Grognard Files podcast, where we talk bobbins about tabletop RPGs from back in the day and today. This is something extra dropping in your grog box, brought to you in conjunction with How We Roll Actual Play podcast and The Good Friends of Jackson Elias, a podcast about Call of Cthulhu, horror films and horror gaming in general. Earlier this month, February 2019, I appeared on stage at Pod UK in Birmingham in an actual play in front of a live audience. I know, it's something that none of us had done before, so I'm going to file it in the It Was an Experience box. The auditorium was huge with a massive cinema-sized screen behind us. Now, when Joe kindly invited me to participate in an actual play, I said yes as soon as he mentioned that Scott Dorwood was going to be the keeper. I'd assumed that it was going to be online. I didn't realise that it would involve a trip to Birmingham. See, it's this lack of attention to detail and the small print that's got me into trouble before. I mean, ended up as a mercenary in Libya that time. Local comedian Mike Harding once said that if the world had piles, it would have them in Birmingham. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but I did get incredibly lost on the way to the venue. I knew I was going the wrong way when I found myself running through cubes of trash in a household recycling centre whilst being chased down the street by a gang of crows. Flustered, sweaty and a little terrified, I was ready to be put through my paces as the plucky, unlucky kid in the Necropolis. I had a fantastic time, so thanks to Joe and the How We Roll crew for the invite. And I can cross off playing with Scott Dorwood from the Good Friends of Jackson Elias from my bucket list. There's a couple of F-bombs in this one, so cover the ears of your miners. Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, How We Roll Live!
Evening.
Hello everyone. This isn't intimidating at all.
Not in the slightest.
My name is Joe Trier and welcome to How We Roll Live. It is my absolute pleasure.
Lean forward to the mic.
Sorry.
Bring your mic forward.
Oh, here we go. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce our players tonight. We have David Harnacker.
Hey.
We have from the Grognard Files podcast, we have Dirk the Dice.
Hello.
We have my very good friend Owen Falvey.
Hi, folks.
We have Curran Gervais.
Hello, everybody.
And our keeper of unknown lore. From the Good Friends of Jackson Elias, we have Scott Dorwood himself.
Thank you, Joe.
And I'd just like to explain a little bit about what we're doing today, because unlike some of the other fantastic shows that you've seen and you will see, we are wholly improvised. Us as players have no idea what we're going to experience. Scott, as our keeper, is going to present a series of situations within a narrative, and then we are going to make decisions based upon who we are as players. Each of us have a character, which we'll introduce shortly. Even Scott doesn't know what happens, because when we make an action, we will decide what happens by rolling a dice. So we, over the next 75 minutes, are going to present a wholly unknown story of deepest, darkest horror. And I'm going to hand over to Scott to explain a little bit more about the setting and the game itself.
Yes, so the game we're playing is Call of Cthulhu. This is based on the works of a pulp horror writer from the early 20th century called H.P. Lovecraft, who pretty much shaped modern horror. And the game is fundamentally about uncovering secrets man was not meant to know, encountering powerful entities from outside space and time, or certainly from deep time, and generally sticking one's nose where it doesn't belong. This usually leads to a horrible end, and I think we might manage one of those today.
We never die.
What are you talking about?
Never, ever, ever die.
Before we jump into the game itself, let's find out who everyone is playing. Do you want to start with David?
I'm playing a former Marine named Dan Henderson. Definitely not an alcoholic. Definitely did not get dishonorably discharged for having an interesting time in a bordello in southern France. And definitely not sponging off my good friend here, Bunty, who is a... I'll let him introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Hank the Kid Malone, and I come from the mean streets of Brooklyn. And I found myself on a liner in London, and I befriended a wealthy man, the name of Bunty, and I've been taking some rich pickings from him. I'm only 19, a bit small, but I want to go to Egypt because I've got a man up west who'll pay good money for antiquities.
I'm Niall Madden, stretching my acting skills and playing an Irishman. So I'm, for the last number of years, been an archaeologist around Tunbridge Wells and just a humdrum trench dig, finding Roman coins, nothing of great interest. Always dreamed of going to the Valley of the Kings, like Howard Carter and the other greats. And I made friends with Bunty, who was convinced of the wonders of Egypt and has happily financed a trip for me.
Hello, everyone. Pleasure to be here. My name is Henry Buntington Smythe IV. Bunty to my friends. You can all call me Bunty. I'm a dilettante. Yes, that's right. That's how it's pronounced in English, not dilettante. And I am, well, I'm spending my yearly stipend on various ventures and expeditions. And today, I'm in Egypt with a number of my colleagues here to do some archaeology.
Archaeology, yeah.
Archaeology, yes.
I'm playing Stefan Prieb, who's a German linguist who's been hired by Mr. Bunty to do
just
some...
Just Bunty, my fellow. Yeah,
Mr.
Just Bunty.
Bunty?
just Bunty.
Just Bunty, then. I believe he wants me to translate some hieroglyphics, perhaps. So, I'm always looking for a new challenge, so I've accepted.
So, as you might have guessed from what people have been saying, this takes place in the Valley of the Kings in Egypt. Specifically, it takes place in November of 1924. This is a peak time for archaeology in Egypt, and obviously this group of characters is cashing in on all that. Bunty, you've basically funded this expedition. You have your good friend Niall, who is going to oversee the dig. The dig itself is into this structure. You're not quite sure what it is. It might be a temple, might be a tomb. It's certainly carved into the cliff face of one of the cliffs that border the Valley of the Kings. It's been sealed, obviously, for some time, because there is this monstrous great stone slab in front of the entrance. The workers you've hired, however, have diligently and creatively come up with this rope and pulley system, and after you've been waiting around for some time, they do manage to lift the slab. I mean, it levers off the ground, and there is, you know, this rank air that just spills out from the tomb. But yes, all of a sudden there is this gaping black entrance there, behind which lie perhaps treasures, certainly secrets from times lost. So, what do you do?
Bunty, they have the tomb open. Come see.
Hold on. I think you'll find I'm supposed to be security here. Pull out my tiny little ancient revolver. It's about, you know, that big, 32. I'll check it out first. Walk slowly into the temple without having considered a light source.
Should we cut the ropes?
Yeah, I mean, inside there is a long tunnel. Well, actually not that long, but the darkness makes it look longer, that stretches inside. I mean, you walk inside, there's no sign of traps or anything like that. Certainly the floor doesn't open up underneath you and swallow you. There don't seem to be darts coming out of the walls or anything like that, or anything you might have been expecting.
Dan, you just need to hold off a minute. It might be a curse.
A curse? What kind of curse?
Well, I've heard some stories that if you don't say the right words or do the right thing, then you might get cursed.
Yeah, I've been telling Bronte about the curse. Dan.
That kind of curse. Okay, yeah. Why don't you tell us the words, Niall?
So I need some type of currency to, you know, just offer to the gods. So, Bunty, have you got any currency by any chance?
Well, I've got a bit. Hang on. I've only got £10. Is that enough? £10?
Perfect. Snatches from his head.
The gods can be bought cheap.
It's 1924. £10 is a lot of money.
I'm not sure what the exchange rate is.
Buy a small holiday home in Egypt.
Egyptian pounds.
Yeah, that's perfect. I just got to lay them here by the entrance, cover them in sand, and then elaborately just pocket them, and slightly elaborate, awkward dance. And the curse is fine, Bunty. I think you should go ahead and just see what's down there.
Oh, thank God. Do I get to go in first?
Yeah, as you offered the money, you're the first to break the curse.
I wouldn't want anyone else to get the curse. Okay. It's quite dark.
Yes.
I can go some of the way in.
Are you all going in? I mean, this is the find of the century, potentially. This wonderful unknown tomb. You don't even know what this is. Are you just all dithering around on the step waiting to go in, or are you actually going to
I'm going to sprint in.
as we're messing around and finishing my dance, boy, Hank, bring torches and. Get Stefan. He might need to read some of these hieroglyphics, if we find any. So yeah, I guess we're all going in. I guess we're going in.
Okay. So as you all make your way in, I mean, one of you has got a torch, have you? I mean,
yeah, I'll bring some torches over to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are these like English torches or literal flaming
torches? I think these are literal torches.
Literal torches.
Yeah. So fire. Yeah, you've got two of those. And
can I just request that I don't hold one of the torches? This suit is rather expensive.
I can hold it, don't worry.
Thank you so much,
sir. I'll do that for you, Bunty.
So as you make your way in, you find yourself in this corridor. It's probably only about 25, 30 feet long. And it is the walls are lined with hieroglyphs. You can see something glinting gold at the far end.
Ooh, gold. Is that a mummy?
and as you go down to look, there is this creaking and almighty thud sound as the stone slab drops to the ground behind you, sealing you in.
Now,
predictable.
Was that supposed to happen?
Do I look like an engineer?
Well, you're the one with the fancy ass university degrees. How the fuck should I know?
Yes, it was meant to happen. It's for the curse.
I knew I should have brought more money. £10 obviously wasn't enough. Quickly, I've got a shilling here. If I put it down, will it open?
Yeah, I'll just take care of that. Yeah, definitely.
So you look for the coin slot in the slab.
Oh, it appears to be a way more powerful curse than I realised. I'll keep trying. Pocket shilling.
I always keep half a crown in my shoe. Oh, goddamn double knot. Desperately trying to undo my shoelace at this moment.
Remember that pocket watch you were showing me the other day? Maybe the gods will like that.
Oh, I lent it to Hank. Hank, have you got my pocket watch?
I've not got it. How are we going to get out? I'm too young to die.
Okay, guys, look. Perhaps there's a secret entrance. Often when building tombs and pyramids like this, there was workers' entrances, you know, kind of access tunnels that you couldn't see, you know? Like
of course. For the help.
For the help, yeah. You know, like the hidden staircases at home, Bunty.
One thing I will interject at this stage is it does sound like there is perhaps a note of panic here, is I will ask for a sanity roll off everyone. So what this involves is just basically a test to see how well people are coping with the situation and whether they're traumatized by it. So each character has a score called sanity, which marks their resilience to trauma like this. So if you'd all care to make that roll.
I rolled a 30 against my 50, so I succeed.
I rolled 98 against my 80.
I rolled a 38 against my 40, so I succeed.
I rolled a 53 versus my
70. Just for anyone at home that's not played this before, you want to roll low. So you want to get below the scores. That's how the mechanics work.
I've rolled 27 against 60. This is perfectly normal.
So apparently everyone is coping fine with this, except for the kid. The kid, on the other hand, loses 2 points of sanity. And the rest of you, while you're looking around and discussing in relatively calm terms about possible other exits and what your plans are, the kid is just pressed up against the stone slab, wailing in terror.
It's like being in that liner again. Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
Normally, when I summon the help, I pull a cord. Is there a cord around anywhere?
There's no cord here, but as I said, there are hieroglyphs all down the walls. Mm. The walls are cracked. The ceiling is cracked. There is, as I said, something gold at the far end that's glinting in your... I mean, the torchlight, I mean, it gives you a little... gives you a little circle of light around you, but it's far from far from illuminating the whole place.
So I would like to try and take a look at these hieroglyphics.
Right. In which case, yeah, I mean, you can give me a roll against your other language hieroglyphs.
Hmm. I've rolled 38 against 70. This makes perfect sense to me.
Okay, that is a hard success. So. Yes, you can pick out a few things. I mean, they seem to depict perhaps a pharaoh of some description leading a bunch of followers. He is treating them fairly cruelly, and you infer from what you're seeing that he had perhaps something of a heretical belief that he saw there as being, perhaps not even, the gods not even being real, that what happens on this earth is all that matters. And, the gods themselves are irrelevant to him. Hmm.
So according to these hieroglyphics, there was a tyrannical pharaoh who was also an atheist. Ahead of his time, some might say.
Well, maybe an atheist, or maybe he saw himself as a god.
It's up to debate, really.
Stefan, does he have a name? Is there a name mentioned or a group?
No, there isn't a name. But one thing you do notice, though, is that there are cracks in the walls. As you're looking at the hieroglyphs, you can see that through the cracks that there are things, perhaps in cubby holes behind the walls.
While this lot's looking at the chicken scratchings on the wall, I'm going to go towards that glinting thing. Might be gold.
Okay.
So unlike you, Dave. Well,
I mean, down the other end of the corridor, you see a few things down there. You see the glinting gold thing you saw was a fairly ornately carved gold chest. I mean, it's quite large. There's also an ornate stone table just next to it. And there is a hole in the wall at the far end. It looks like perhaps these have been dragged through from there. There is also obviously a doorway at the far end, but it's got another one of these huge stone slabs.
When you say a hole that was dragged through, do you mean the doorway, or is it like another kind of...
No, there's a hole that's been knocked in the wall next to the doorway.
Right. Okay.
It's not big enough to walk through, but you could probably crawl through it.
Said that we were the first people to come here. This isn't good enough. I want a new pyramid.
The first people to come here since it's been built. It just wasn't finished.
It's just not good enough. I've paid money for this excursion.
Clearly not enough. The curse happened.
Well, this would be a good opportunity for anyone who's poking around to make a spot hidden roll. So a spot hidden is a skill to notice the things that you might not otherwise notice.
I rolled a 7 versus 50.
Oh.
So I'm probably okay.
I did not notice anything.
Yeah, I am far too distracted by the golden chest to see anything.
I've rolled a 63 against 45. I'm oblivious.
And so it was only Niall who passed there, but he passed extremely well. So you notice two things. One is on the slab that fell down behind you, there are carvings in it. They perhaps weren't immediately obvious, but there are carvings there. The other thing you notice is that there are chips of stone littering the floor that look like they've been, knocked off the walls, knocked off, stone plinths. Perhaps from the condition of them, it perhaps looks like someone has been through here much more recently than you might assume.
like brutally knocked off plinths and walls, is it?
Yeah, or well, certainly when they knocked that bloody great hole in the wall over there, yes. Okay. Yes, that all looks surprisingly new.
So, Bunty, you might be right. These do look like it's new damage. So it seems to have one recent owner.
Just a minute. I've had a horrible thought. Were they going in or were they coming out?
Do you see that hole? I don't want to point out the obvious, but I think they went that way.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know.
Why would that make any difference, Monty?
Bunty.
What? That's what I said, Bunty.
Oh. Well, I was reading the book in Amazing Adventures.
No, you weren't.
Well, comic. And there was a mummy, and he was rather rude. He tore people apart and cursed them, and, well, I've got a new suit on.
But that kind of thing only happens in stories.
Yeah, that's right. That's definitely only in stories.
Well, that's why I said thank God.
It's probably fine. Dan, what have you got over there? What's that chest?
Nothing to see here. It's fine. How big is the chest?
The chest is sizable.
Sizable, so it's not like...
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not something you could pocket. It's also solid gold, so you perhaps try shifting it a bit, and you realise that it's too heavy for you to carry on your own.
It's just brass. It's just nothing. just ignore it. I'll probably take it, you know, a souvenir later on our way out, but, you know, just leave it there for now.
Looks awfully shiny for brass.
Well, they polish it like that here in Egypt. Don't you worry about it.
Oh, Egyptian brass.
Egyptian brass.
So Stefan was looking at these hieroglyphs and noticed these cracks in the walls with things behind them.
There seems to be something behind the wall.
That'd be where the help
came. maybe you should take a closer look, Stefan.
I think maybe I will. Is there a way for me to, like, try to pry a shovel in there or something?
Easily, yes.
Yeah. I'll hand him my trusty trowel or something.
Yeah.
Yes, Niall's trusty trowel. Does the work.
Yes, you put it in and you lever a chunk of the wall out, destroying priceless hieroglyphs in the process. But behind...
It's 19th century.
Behind, you can see that there is this small mummified figure with a wooden head that is carved and painted to look like a dog's.
Christ, he looks just like Jeeves.
Is there a key under it?
So I'm going to assume that I have to roll sanity. No? I'm totally normal. I just found a corpse.
It's a
mummy. You're going into an Egyptian tomb. You're expecting to find fucking mummies.
Any excuse.
As an archaeologist, do I know of any legends or stories of atheist?
Yeah, give me an archaeology roll.
Archaeology versus 70, I roll, God knows what, 55.
Okay, well, I mean, you don't recognise the legends on the wall. I mean, what you pick up on a couple of things, though. One is the sigils and glyphs that you saw carved in the stone door that slammed shut behind you indicate that they were perhaps to ward against evil. You're not entirely sure whether they were supposed to keep stuff in or out. And the mummified figure, and you know, I'm assuming you're poking around and looking at that a bit because you're an archaeologist. And the head comes off almost as soon as you touch it, and you can see underneath that it is actually a mummified dog, its head pushed down inside the bandages. And you've encountered these before, or something like them, and they are there as temple guardians.
Okay, this is a temple guardian. They're used to protect tombs, and these sigils here appear to be warding evil. I don't know whether it's keeping it out or keeping it in, though.
I wouldn't consider myself to be evil. We're probably okay.
I was going to say, they probably don't work, because Dan's here with us.
Having successfully distracted them all and, you know, made them look at something else with my genius description of the brass chest, can I now open it while they're all examining this dog?
Yeah, inside are a few beads. They might be made of amber. They might be worth something, but compared to the chest itself, they're pocket change.
Yeah, I'll still pocket them.
Oh, Dan, what was in the chest?
It was totally empty. It
just darn it.
Yep, totally worthless. I'll just, you know, but I might keep it as a souvenir.
Gents, look, it's getting late. There seems to be no way out from where we've came. Maybe we should press on and see if we can get out before it gets too far into the night and too cold in this cave.
The best way out is in.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
I bet you tell that to
logic
all your girlfriends.
Logic must be different. <than
Germany>. Oh, you're staring at me. So yeah, I'll push on to the weird opening by the locked off door.
Okay, crouching down and looking through, you can see stuff glinting in there. With the torch you've got, you're having to lever it through fairly carefully not to set fire to anything. But it does seem to be crammed full of all sorts of stuff.
Stuff.
I mean, cool. Until you go through, they're just going to be shadowy shapes.
Guys, I'm going to press on. This is fascinating stuff. Give me back that trowel because I want some sort of weapon. And yeah, I'll crawl with the torch kind of in front of me, like slowly through, hoping they'll follow me.
I will go right behind him because I am not letting him get to anything without me.
Before we let, is there another door? Do you think there was a shut door?
There was the huge slab which sealed you in. There's a slab in front of you which is sealing this other door, but the hole in the wall is not through just next to the slab that's going further in.
Gotcha.
So I will too crawl into the hole.
Okay. And as you come through the hole, you see on the far side that you're in a much larger room, maybe not longer, but certainly deeper. The room is just crammed full of artifacts. I mean, obviously, funerary artifacts of some kind, grave offerings. These include ostrich feathers, clay jars, which seem to be full of all sorts of stuff. You see in one far corner a golden chariot.
Someone get out their phone, get a selfie.
you also see there are two other doors other than the one next to the hole you crawled through, both of which, at least at some point, had stone slabs. There's one on your right which definitely still has a stone slab in front of it and is flanked by a couple of statues. There is one as well on the far side from where you are which has been smashed through.
So what do you see in there? Is it? Can you open the door? I'd rather not crawl.
Dilettante.
Hank, I'm going to call, bend down by the opening. Hank, do me a favour and just bring Bronte through, please.
Okay. I've got this blanket, Mr. Bronte, sir. I'll put this round you. We'll crawl in.
If you just lay it on the floor like Walter Raleigh and I'll crawl.
James, can you stop flirting and get this straight? So, yeah, this seems to be some sort of tomb with just funeral offerings. And as you can see, there's this opening, but this door over here. And I'm going to go over to the two statues and inspect them. Are they more these tomb guardians?
No, these are different. You can see, they appear to be human size. And as you get closer, you can see that they're not actually statues. That they are mummified bodies that appear to have been impaled on iron spikes. The heads have been cut off them, and they're replaced. One has got the head of a crocodile, the other the head of a jackal. I think this is... as used as you are to mummies, and as much as you were expecting to see mummies, this is perhaps a bit more distressing, so I think I want a sanity roll here.
Finally.
That is a 15 against 50. I am very sane. I'm very drunk.
I've got 98 again.
I've rolled 62 versus 40, so I fail also.
68 versus 70, so I'm okay.
So it was just Niall and the kid who failed? Oh, no, sorry.
No, I failed as well. It's 63 against 60.
Okay, so, so Stefan the kid and Dr. Prieber.
And Niall.
Oh, sorry, Niall. So Niall loses a mere 1 point of sanity.
Cool.
The kid also loses a mere 1 point of sanity. And Stefan loses three.
Yay.
Stefan just backs off. He recoils in horror. And as he does so, there is one of these priceless jars, which, you know, is obviously filled with some kind of offering. And he backs up against it and just knocks it over, smashes it on the ground. And it spills, you know, old grain on the ground. There are beetles crawling out of it all over the place.
God damn!
Is that normal? Do they keep beetles in jars?
Did you not see these mummies?
I'll stamp them.
The other thing you notice about these statues, by the way, is that they're carrying weapons. One is carrying an axe. The other is carrying a type of ancient Egyptian sword, known as a kopesh, which is kind of like a large sickle.
Are they sharp?
They're a bit rusty, but they're certainly serviceable.
Oh gosh, yeah. This is really sharp. Be really careful. Don't run your finger down the blade. Ah, oh, these are fascinating. How much do you think they'll be worth, Dan? Are they worth any money?
I reckon they might be all right.
They would look really good in my bedroom.
Though I gotta question the logic of whoever impaled these sons of bitches, then armed them.
Maybe we should collect these and take them back to the camp for appraisal. I'd pick up the axe. If nobody minds.
Sorry, Tess swinging around the kopesh.
It's got a good heft to it.
Just be careful, it's quite sharp.
I'm going to give the jackal back my trowel. Just I don't think I need to be. I need something in the afterlife.
Very wise.
So I was going to say, now, how old is this tomb supposed to be?
That is a very good question. Let's have an archaeology roll here. Because something isn't quite adding up necessarily for you here.
I rolled everyone's favourite number, 69. Sorry, beyond the nose.
So, right. Then,
yes, it is.
Yeah, you look around at the artifacts in here, and you're a fairly experienced Egyptologist, and for the life of you, you cannot pin this down to a particular era, to a particular dynasty. It's not that the artifacts themselves are unique or particularly unusual. It's just the stylings, the design of them, the very age of them. Nothing quite makes sense to you.
To be perfectly honest with you, it's quite old. I would say 6,500 years.
I'm really glad we brought you. That's spot on. More than I'd know. I was thinking about 100.
Because I'm not exactly a scientist or anything, but should those beetles still be alive?
That's a really good question.
Well, to be honest, they're not.
Before Hank decided to dance a jig on them.
I mean, I've not been to the end of this tomb. I don't know if it comes out elsewhere in the cliffside. I mean, beetles are small. There's cracks in the wall.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm kind of hoping that it does.
That's a very good point.
So in this room, there's these two mummies, and they were in a doorway, right?
There are two doorways, one of which has got a slab in place. Mm-hmm. That's the one to your right as you came in. Mm-hmm. On the far side, there is another doorway that did have a slab, but someone has smashed it to pieces.
So I'm going to run through there.
Okay. Just one thing I'll mention first. Speaking of things being smashed to pieces, it's not just apparently Stefan who has broken something in here. As you're passing through, you do notice that a number of the artifacts are damaged and broken in some way. Almost as if someone has maybe not deliberately smashed them up because they're still too intact for that, but certainly perhaps moved through here carelessly.
And is the chariot very intact?
The chariot is surprisingly intact.
Mm. Did I hear mention it was made of gold?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly it's certainly covered in gold leaf. An actual full golden chariot might be a bit impractical.
Perhaps.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. When we get out of here, I want a new pyramid.
A tomb in the cliffside. Pyramids are triangular, pointy. We've had this conversation.
A new old pyramid, pointy.
Pointy.
When we get out.
Okay. Here, you should hold this. I'm just going to give him like a handful of grain. This is ancient Egyptian food. It's very valuable. You mind that?
Tastes disgusting.
Look, that's a beetle.
Oh.
Dan, I think, okay, that area is broken into, but this tomb over here could have something valuable. I mean, it's the two guardians were by the broken door or the sealed up door?
By the sealed up door.
I mean, it's protected generally when there's mummies and kind of sentinel type sarcophagus outside it. It's a big burial area. There may be lots of Egyptian brass. Maybe we should try pushing this slab. Hank, well, you know what I'm talking about too.
Yeah. Now, carry on.
Can I try and move the slab? Just.
Yeah, you certainly can. This is a big hunk of rock. And you go and you push and you push and you push and it doesn't give in the slightest. I mean, this, yeah, you might as well be trying to move the cliff face itself.
There might be a handle. Let's look a bit more closely.
Yeah.
I'll do a spot here.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Do that.
I've got 77 on 70.
Okay.
I'm glad we brought you, Hank.
Even if there were a handle, you wouldn't be seen.
The dice are cursed.
Thank you.
Is there any hieroglyphics around?
Not in this room, but you said you were going through the broken doorway. So, as Stefan has so generously separated himself from the rest of the herd, let's take full advantage of this. Are you carrying one of the torches?
I'm going to, for the sake of entertainment, no.
Okay, so you blunder through this dark doorway. There is a bit of a smell of corruption in here. I mean, the air in here is pretty stale anyway. But, yeah, there is definitely the smell of, not rot, but, yeah, certainly old decay. Hmm. And as you're blundering around...
Ah, entropy, my old friend. Fire.
As you're blundering around in the dark, you step on something that you're wearing fairly sensible boots, so it doesn't hurt you, but it goes crunch underfoot, and something else goes crunch underfoot as well. And as you blunder forward slightly, you bump up against something stone, and as you put your hand on to balance yourself, you feel yourself touching bones.
Where did Stefan go? He was here a minute ago. Bunty!
And at that point, you hear the cry from the other room.
I can hear him, but I can't see him. He's not here.
Sounds like he's rolling sanity.
I think a sanity roll would be entirely appropriate at this moment.
So I've rolled 25 against 57.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you are holding it together, even in this horrible position.
Literally holding the skeleton together.
Looks like the crazy crats wandered off. Should we find him?
I mean, he'll probably come back. Just give this to maybe one more go. There must be some sort of way in.
Well, I can't move that door.
I was going to say, this might be a stupid question, but did he go through the door that you're pushing, or was it one of the open door, do you think? It might be a stupid question, but I thought I'd ask.
We'll never know. Maybe we should just try this one in case he's in here.
Okay.
Mr. Bunty, sir, I've seen it in the movies. Let's not split up. Let's stay together.
just Bunty.
Mr. Bunty?
My father's Mr. Bunty.
Like Madonna.
So everyone's having this nice, calm conversation, ignoring the cries coming from the dark room. Excellent. I just wanted to check.
So please.
Let's go and find him.
I guess we'll leave this toilet. Yeah, let's push on. Bunty, you lead the way.
I don't even want to touch the torch. It's awfully sooty. I'll go first, but if you hold the torch... No, that won't work, will it?
The curse, Bunty. You have to go first, remember?
So the others have abandoned you.
Ah, yes.
So what's new?
So you can hear this calm conversation going on in the other room while you
Hello?
Are...
Hello?
Calm? This is Egyptian cotton on my shirt.
So what are you doing there in the dark with the dead things?
I am contemplating my own existence. Why exactly am I in this tomb? What have I done to put myself here? Silly Stefan, silly. Always trying to go for the adventure. And then they leave you behind.
Are you sure Hello? You succeeded in that sanity test? Doesn't sound like it.
Barely. Dan, please. I'm just calling out for the one person. I found a shiny, I swear.
I'll grab the torch.
Just, you hold my jacket. I'll roll up my sleeves. Where's that torch?
I'll just grab the torch and march off.
So, just in case it becomes important at any stage, let's pin down exactly who is carrying these precious life-giving light sources.
Me.
I'll carry Mr. Bunty's.
Okay, so Dan and the kid are torched up. So was Dan following when his name was called, or is he sticking with everyone else and abandoning Stefan to his fate?
No, he's like, as they were fussing around with that, I just got fed up of it, grabbed the torch and handed it off towards Stefan when he called my name.
Okay, so when you get into the room, and you can see that it seems to be a tomb of some kind. Stefan is there. He has his hands on a human skull that is lying on what looks like an altar or a plinth of some kind. And he's obviously lost his balance, and his fingers are just jammed into his eye sockets like a bowling ball.
Skull bowling.
Stefan, I think you're getting Hamlet wrong.
and you knew it so well.
The plinth that the body is lying on, as I said, is a stone one. It seems to have all these little nooks in it that have got things in it, in them. The body itself is a skeleton dressed in rags. It's not a mummy. On the ground, surrounding.
Can I just
the
interrupt? A mummy is a skeleton dressed in rags.
Thank you for clearing that up. Yes.
Now we know he's dying first.
Bunty, who are you talking to?
Was there ever any doubt?
Be a savant moment.
There are on the floor surrounding the plinth. There are all these little stone or clay statues that look like they're human shaped. A fair number of them have been crunched under the feet of Stefan. There are murals on the walls all round. And behind the plinth, there is, on a stand, there is a golden ankh. The ankh, however, it's not necessarily like any that you've seen before. I mean, even so, certainly nothing like any that Niall's seen
that
before.
That is not an ankh.
there are two things that are different about it. One is inverted. So the round bit is down at the bottom. The other is that it has little tendrils sort of wavy bits coming off it. And in the torchlight, obviously this isn't the case, but the torchlight, the flickering torchlight, does make it look unpleasantly like they're writhing.
So I'm a really good archaeologist, but what's an ankh? I'm not going to lie. I feel like I might be important if anyone else out there doesn't know.
So an ankh is an ancient Egyptian symbol, a symbol of life. It looks almost like a crucifix, except the top part is a...
An anky. I pronounce it different in Ireland. That's it. I got it. Okay, we're good.
It's a symbol of life that is upside down.
Yes.
Yeah,
that sounds...
I am obviously very attracted to the piece of gold.
Brass.
Okay.
Don't touch the Egyptian brass.
Too late, I touched it.
So are you actually lifting the ankh off the stand?
Yes.
Okay. Can you give me a power roll, please?
Power.
I'm by the door.
50, I roll a 78.
Okay. So the rest of you see... You see... Better remember your name. you see Dan's eyes roll up into his head, and he convulses, and he drops down onto the ground. Dan, your head is being filled with strange visions. You can see this figure. It looks almost like the pharaoh that you saw in the hieroglyphs outside. He's dressed in robes, black robes. His skin is... And it's black, but not like human skin. It looks almost like he's carved out of obsidian. It even glints slightly in an unpleasant way. And you can see him presiding over scenes of carnage, of mass human sacrifice. It just splattered in blood, the blood soaking into the landscape, people dying in the most horrific ways. Let's have a sanity roll.
I told you not to touch the zanny.
Really, I don't think one is merited by any of that. It's fine. I am fine. I rolled a 31 against 50.
Okay, so you still lose one.
Everyone step back. I know what to do. I saw Nurse do this to my brother when he fell off the stairs. I'm going to do some first aid. I'm going to give him the kiss of life.
I'm going to call it now. It'll be last aid, possibly.
I am not trained in first aid. And I get an 87.
But I am trained in kissing.
Okay. I mean, obviously the problem with this is that you're trying to get close to help him, but there's that ankh that's right next to him. And you're obviously instinctively avoiding touching that. And you, that means you just can't get into the right position to give him first aid.
Oh, thank God.
On the other hand, if you repositioned yourself slightly and took a bigger risk, you might be able to have another try. But that means if you fail, you will end up brushing up against the ankh.
I will push that roll.
Do you want to explain pushing the roll?
So one of the mechanics of Call of Cthulhu is if you fail a roll, you can have another go. But if you fail that roll again, then something really bad happens. And I just rolled a 40 versus my first aid of 30.
So Bunty gets himself into position, and almost inevitably you see his hand come down on the ankh. And there are now two convulsing figures on the ground. Bunty writhing on top of Dan in a most suggestive manner.
Hank.
Can I have that sanity roll for Bunty?
Oh,
well?
Yeah.
And upon seeing this, can I also roll sanity?
yes,
you can.
39 versus 70. I am okay. Not.
So you still lose 1 point.
I'm going to go try and grab him by the waist and drag him away from this.
What?
I'm going to hold the torch. and make sure nobody comes in the door, just in case.
That's a good point. I was holding the torch when I fell down in convulsions.
Oh, okay. So, the torch is rolled off to one side. Mercifully, perhaps, you're in about the only room in this complex that doesn't have anything flammable in it.
So I'll hand you the torch and start grabbing. Come on, Mr. Bunty, get away from it! Get away from it!
I'm pretty much as soon as you pull him away from it and break contact between his hand and the ankh, his eyes roll back into position and there's a bit of foam flecked around his lips, but other than that, he seems to be, well, as close to compass mentis as he ever gets.
I'm fine.
What did you see? Did you find a way out?
He is the worst kisser I've ever experienced.
Am I still?
It's the only kiss you've ever experienced.
Am I still out?
Yeah, because no one's dragged you away from the hang. They only care about Bunty.
I'm going to run over him with the X, I'm hoping. This chop his head. No, I'm not going to chop his head off. Going to try and just flick the ankh out of his.
Okay,
hand.
Yeah, you do that, and yeah. Almost immediately, Dan starts coming around as well.
Just take out some parchment paper I have in my pocket and like wrap it up and just put it in my bag for later.
Okay. I mean, it's fairly big. It's probably about 2 foot long, so it's going to be difficult to fit into the bag.
Okay. Can I stick the loop around the end of my axe and carry it around? There we go.
You can certainly try.
Does that make it a battle ankh?
A battle ankh, yeah.
The battle ankh.
Okay, I'm entirely for this plan because there's no way it can bite you in the arse later.
I'm not going to put in my arse.
just to remind you, there were a number of other things in this room. Obviously, there is the skeleton on the plinth. There's all the little things tucked in the nooks on there. There's the murals on the wall around. And now that you've actually gone into the room and moved around a bit, you notice that there are two things on the ground on the other side of the plinth. One is a Hessian sack, and the other is a leather satchel.
That would be ideal for carrying a 2-foot-long ankh.
Did the ancient Egyptians have Hessian sacks and leather satchels? Because that looks a little bit like my leather satchel.
No, just did you see that in your vision?
No, look, the one I've got over my shoulder.
Oh, okay. No, claiming it.
But speaking of your vision, some of the murals around here do look a little bit like what you saw in your vision.
Creepy.
So I'm still standing in the middle of the room with my hands in the skull, like a bowling ball, thinking, well, I've just watched people convulse and then get up like nothing happened and it's all fine. And so I'm going to go look at the murals. So anyway, go and take a look.
Okay.
So I can maybe, you know, not lose sanity and find out what happened.
So these are murals. They're not hieroglyphs.
Oh, yeah,
murals. So they depict things. I mean, the one on the wall that you came through, it does look like perhaps a traditional ancient Egyptian scene in some respects. You have this figure, this pharaoh again that you've seen over and over again, who is standing there holding a set of scales. On one half, there is a human heart. And on the other half, there is a pile of perhaps dead animals or something. And kneeling before all this is a figure, looks human, but with a jackal's head, who's kneeling, cowering before all this. And there are a couple of people with sharp knives that have just cut its chest open and are pulling it apart.
Ooh.
I just want to ask, is no one going to address the fact that people are convulsing after touching some kind of weird-ass cross?
I don't know. No one else talked about it. I thought we just was going to move on.
I swear to God, I saw visions of this guy. I saw this scene when I fell down. It's like, you know, I swear to God, I am sober-ish now. Ish.
It does appear that there's some strong curses, and I said coming in there were sigils on the door that there is some sort of evil here.
I step right up close and I also pull them. I thought the curse was just, you know, get us some money. So shit, is it real curse? Is there a real curse?
Yeah, so did I. And that I hate to break it, that dance doesn't stop curses. That's all made up.
Really? I never would have guessed.
At that moment, Bunty comes up and goes, I've found half a crown. Do you want to do that dance again?
It's quite serious. I'm not powerful enough. Maybe your ancient, noble blood might be able to do the curse. You just go dancing over there by that mural.
I can do a waltz.
Can I? Yeah, that's perfect. Viennese, preferably.
Okay.
Can I go over to the leather satchel and just see if there's anything in it, but also try and put the ankh into it because I don't like it jingling on the top of my axe ready to fall.
The satchel does have a few things in it. It's got what looks like a leather journal, and it has a passport in it as well.
Oh, apparently Egyptians had passports, guys. I have such a great history in our show of opening books and not destroying them. can I leaf through the notebook and passport to see, if I can figure out who owns it or what?
Well, and the passport is a German passport. And oddly enough then, the journal appears to be written in German.
If only there was someone who could speak German.
Fritz, I have something for you to read here.
Conveniently.
So you're passing it over to Stefan.
I'll keep the satchel and just toss him the notebook and passport. Does it have a date in the passport?
Yes. Yeah, it looks... I mean, the last date stamp on it is coming into Egypt, and it looks like it's from 1916, so 8 years ago.
8 years ago. Cool. And we know nothing... as far as we knew coming in, this was an untouched tomb?
Pretty much. That's what it was advertised as.
well known
by you, I should remind you.
What does this say, Stefan? It seems to be German.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly lengthy journal, but I'm assuming that you're skipping towards the last entries, as they're the ones that are most likely to be pertinent. So perhaps Karen, if you'd like to read out what Stefan is translating.
So, each individual date.
If you can read that whole bit out.
Oh, the whole bit, okay. So there are entries dated from 1910 to 1916 describing Sasha Karner's time as an anthropologist. The journal outlines the anthropologist's trip to Egypt and his attempts to unearth ancient Egyptian artifacts. In addition, Kana writes about the English companion, his English companion, and archaeologist named Dr. Gerald Sutton. There are many entries outlining the difficult work environment due to the Great War. Kana often praises Sutton for the assistance in dealing with the English authorities. Hmm. The last four entries appear most significant. Yes. Why am I a villain, right? So on the 7th of August, 1916, word has reached us of fierce fighting north, close to the Suez Canal. Our men are frightened enough as it is without the fear of being killed in a crossfire. The superstitious beliefs have delayed the dig more than once, and I do not care for any further delay. We dig tirelessly through the loose sand and rock. We are close. On the 3rd of September, 1916, today was glorious. That sounds really bad. we have found the entrance. Removing the doorway was difficult, but we created a pulley system that allowed us entry. I have clogged the entirety of the tunnel. I've halted the removal of the stones until I have surveyed the structure and documented what we have learned thus far. Sutton thinks my meticulous records are unnecessary and time-consuming. On the 1st of December, finally, the tunnel is now clear. Some of the workers have taken a great interest in the damaged hieroglyphs in the passageway. Today, we remove the last of the stone chips and explore. The stonework looks unstable. It may be too risky to use the explosives. On the 3rd of December, Sutton is dead. The lake. Whoa, that escalated quickly.
That escalated so quickly.
It just opens with, yeah, he's dead. Right.
In case he forgets later.
Yeah, in case he forgets. Sutton's dead. In case he forgets.
Where's Sutton? Oh, yeah, he's dead.
This is a personal journal, right? Sutton's dead. The local labor attacked us and broke his neck when he refused to be forced inside the tomb. Beware the children of the Sphinx. I plan on waiting a couple of hours in the hope they have gone. I'll gather some jewelry. Gather some of the jewelry and then make my escape. This place will not be my tomb. I can hear noises. Something else is here with me. Right. I just gotta say, I'm pretty sure my hand was in his skull.
I've done my waltz. So we're safe now. I've beaten the curse. What do I do? What do I do with this pound?
You keep it for safety. Okay. Wear it over your hair. That'll keep you safe.
There are a couple of other things I should point out. There was one more item in the satchel, which was a single stick of dynamite.
Let's blow us a way out of here. Put it next to the slab. We'll get out of here. Let's get out of here.
And the other thing...
Careful now.
There was also that Hessian sack. So was anyone looking at that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please be Sutton's buddy.
So you see that it's full, absolutely full of gemstones and golden trinkets.
Sack's empty. Nothing to see here.
Just from a casual inspection, you reckon you could probably live on that for the rest of your life.
What a reverse.
How big is the sack? Is it like?
It's a kind of proper sack, like a coal sack.
Okay. Just throw it over my back. It's fine.
Oh, what a shame. I was hoping it'd be that those jewels he was mentioning in his diary.
Just a bunch of old clothes, probably more diaries. You know, we don't have time to translate them now. It'll be easier later. Well, you know, we'll deal with it then. Hmm.
From somewhere off in the distance, you hear a muffled clanging sound.
Ah, we're not alone.
Yay!
It's a servant's quarters. We just need to find the entrance. Is there any doors in this room?
Scott, I'll take the dynamite.
excuse me?
Could you say it more sinister?
maybe, you know, someone a bit older, maybe a bit wiser, less prone to,
you know what?
You know, screaming.
I'll take Hank aside. Look, Hank, you and me, you're gathering some artifacts for me.
Yeah.
You're worried about getting out. But don't use this yet, and I'll give you this. If you get me whatever valuables you have.
From somewhere...
Deal.
From somewhere not very far away, you can hear the sound of stone scraping. It's a big sound. I mean, this isn't just like rocks being rubbed together. This is something huge moving.
As the door is opening.
I was about to say, someone's coming for us. Yeah. Which direction? Let's go there.
We're saved.
Is that kind of thing normal now?
It sounds possibly like shovels. I mean, it could be another way in.
Rescue team? Did anyone know? Yes, of course, the authorities do know we're here, don't they?
Yes, but those nice Egyptian guys who dropped the door.
There was a couple of issues with visas and permits and...
You still got the money, though, right? You're still paying us.
There was a huge crashing and crunching sound as something big moves into the room behind. Not the chamber you're in, but the one you just came from.
I don't think that's a rescue party. I thought it was ahead of us.
Rats? Tell me it's rats.
And all of a sudden you hear this huge bellowing roar.
That is not a welcome party. No.
We need to go. We need to go right now. Right. Honestly, are there any
other
exits?
I'm going to assume so.
There's no other exits. Cool.
There's no exits.
I'm going to hide in... Yes, it's like...
That didn't sound like a beetle.
It's okay.
I am going to draw my trusty 32 ACP.
I'm going to draw my trusty pocket knife.
And I'm going to hide.
And so we've got two people who are hiding. But Stefan and Niall, let's have stealth rolls off both of you to see how well you hide.
Oh dear. I have a stealth of 20. And I've rolled a 6.
Okay. So natural cowardice wins out.
Yes.
How about Niall?
So I'm going to not hide in a sec, but I'm going to try and hide kind of. So the entrance is ahead of me. I'm going to hide off to the left. So if something's coming barreling in, I might be able to sneak in behind it.
So are you still staying in the room with the corpse?
I'm in the room with the corpse, but...
But you're hiding around the corner.
Besides the door that they're going to come in the hope that they'll just run past me. Basically.
Okay, so yeah, give me that stealth roll.
Oh boy. My stealth is 20. I rolled a 92.
You are so well
with your dice. you
are absolutely confident. You're absolutely confident that nothing can find you where you are.
If I can't see them, they can't see me.
I have a 3-year-old at home. She does exactly the same.
but in the meantime, Bunty and Dan were going to investigate.
I kind of look left and right and go, okay, Niall, Stefan, all together, chaps.
Yeah, all together on the count of three.
Yes.
What's the kid doing? Is he hanging back?
I'm got a torch in one hand and dynamite in the other.
Fantastic. This is what we like. Okay.
You go ahead and check out what that is.
Whatever it is, there is a crashing and crunching sound as something large is obviously making its way through all these priceless antiquities without the due care and attention.
Hey, I paid for that. I may not have the permits, but that's mine. This is my old, new, old, not pointy pyramid.
For once in your life, shut your goddamn mouth.
Watch out, I've got a pocket knife.
Whatever's back there, come on, or I'll plug you, I swear to God!
It's getting closer. So.
Okay, maybe don't come! Stop where you are!
So, are you actually going out to see what it is, or are you...
No, I'm
So you're all staying in this comparatively small room?
Can I do one last survey of the room to see if there's any, like, area to put maybe the ank that's a little, I don't know, indentation on the wall, or something, some other clues to what this might be coming?
No.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Certain death.
Look, guys, I mean, we're in a small, tiny room. This might be the best place to... I mean, look.
Hey, if you want to go out there, you go out there.
All we got to do is be faster than the slowest guy. And
this thing is getting close.
I was going to say, all we got to do is be slower than the slowest guy. I look at Bunty.
Dan, I have a move right
now. Dan, come with me. Come with me. Let's go and face what it is. We got to get out of here. I'll go in.
Okay.
And I'll go slowly behind him with the battle axe, I guess.
So, okay, then the kid goes first, followed by Niall clutching his battle axe. As the kid goes into the doorway, you're carrying a torch, aren't you?
Torch and dynamite. Just reminding you about the dynamite.
Of course you're carrying the fucking dynamite. So you can see, by the torchlight, there is this thing coming towards you. I mean, for a moment, you thought it was a person. I mean, it's a big person if it's a person. I mean, tall and heavily muscled, and you can see that it's partially bandaged, and as the light catches it, it's covered with suppurating sores and wounds. The head, however, is not a human head. It appears to have the head of a jackal or a wolf, with golden brown fur. Maybe it's just the way the light's catching it, but the eyes appear to burn red. So I want Niall and the kid to give me sanity rolls, please.
With these fantastic dice. Oh, boy. 99.
Oh, so what is your sanity?
My sanity is 39 at the moment.
Okay, so that is a fumble. That means you lose the maximum sanity, so you lose 8 points of sanity.
Oh, boy.
Bout of madness.
How did the kid do?
I got 92.
I gave you the good dice. I gave you the good dice.
Oh, and 77.
And the kid also loses 8 points. So
we're coming back in with dynamite next, haven't we, lads?
So because you lost more than a fifth of your sanity in one go, you're going straight into a bout of madness.
Cool.
I think you know, you're down here in the dark. I mean, you've got one light source keeping you safe. There's a monster here. I mean, the walls seem to be closing in. The darkness is closing in. You're not going to get out of this alive, are you? I mean, everything down here is designed to kill you. You've got to come up with some way, maybe involving hideous amounts of destruction, of getting out of here. Whatever it takes, you are going to survive, no matter who else has to die in the process.
Okay. I mean, no.
The kid, on the other hand, and that stick of dynamite in your hand is looking like a pretty good solution now. I mean, who cares about the fact that it's probably going to bring the entire place crashing down on everyone's heads, killing you instantly? I mean, yeah, surely that's got to be a better way of dying than whatever this thing's going to do to you.
I'm kind of curious what this thing might do.
I'm gonna light the fuse. if and run towards it.
If I recognize he's going lighting the fuse and probably realize in my insanity that it's going to take the whole place down, can I try and chop his hand off? That's all.
What is your dexterity and what's the kid's dexterity?
50.
80.
Yeah, wasn't.
So that occurs to you just as you see him disappearing off into the room.
Did he just, like, Dad? He just lit the dynamite. He lit the dynamite. Do something. Get him.
So let's deal with the kid. I mean, the kid is running towards this monstrosity. But you've got this lick stick of dynamite in your hand. It's probably going to go off in maybe 20, 30 seconds. This creature, it's got one of these curved metal swords, and as you're running towards it, it is bringing the sword up, obviously ready to cleave you in half. What in your maddened state are you doing?
Keeping running towards it. I'm aiming for the mouth. I've seen worse than this in the streets of Harlem. I'm going to shove it in his mouth.
So you're going to try to stuff the dynamite into the creature's mouth?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Can you give me a fighting brawl roll, please?
Yeah. Of course I can.
You're getting inside its guard. I mean, you're acting quicker than it can bring the sword down, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to try to crush your head with one of its mighty hands.
Okay. 50% chance. 45.
What a time to succeed.
Oh, okay. It succeeds on its roll as well, but because you're attacking, you get to succeed. So, yes, I mean, it opens its huge canine maw in this growling, horrible noise. And somehow, yes, you have managed to stuff the stick of dynamite in there.
At this point, Nyla's running back into the cavern with the guys. Run, dynamite! He's done insane.
So, Niall's running back in. Is anyone else doing anything other than staying behind there and waiting for your inevitable death?
I was going to say, did you see it? Did you say something about a nice big altar?
Yes.
Definitely getting behind that. Yeah. As soon as I hear the word shouted, get back, dynamite.
Yeah, I'm very well hidden. That's
the dynamite can't see me.
Exactly.
That's going to make it even harder for people to find your body afterwards.
Who says there'll be a body?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Our kingdom come.
So the creature, as the kid steps back after putting the stick of dynamite in his mouth, or shoving the stick of dynamite in his mouth, is bringing this huge blade down and attempting to cut your head off. What is the kid doing about this?
Have I come to my senses yet?
Oh, God, no.
I'm just going to roll into a ball and start crying.
It's the most sensible Cthulhu act you can do.
So you're not even attempting to get out of the way of the blow?
In my getting into a crawl, I'm trying to dodge and roll.
And cry.
Okay. Then I will give the creature a bonus on this, as you're just crawling out of the way. Yeah. In which case, yes, it has impaled you with the sword.
Oh,
so those of you watching can see this huge blade come down and just ram through the kid. This thing does so much damage that even the minimum damage is going to atomize you. So it brings the sword down, skewers it through the kid, and brings up this sort of writhing, living, bloody scarecrow on the end of it, just waving it round. You can see the panic and fear in the kid's eyes as he screams out for help. Blood pouring out of his mouth.
It's a living kebab.
Move. So we've all seen this, obviously, have we?
Yeah, I need to roll sanity now.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm hiding.
And you can also see the dwindling fuse on the stick of dynamite in the creature's mouth.
Oh, dear. Oh.
So after my 99 and my 98, I rolled 100.
So you're already undergoing a bout of madness, so you can't. Niall can't lose any more sanity at this stage because he is already insane.
I rolled a 92 versus 70.
Okay.
So I have failed.
So you lose another 3.
I rolled a 70 against 57.
So you lose another 3.
I rolled a 26 against 49. So
you never liked the kid anyway. So you probably have one more round of action before that stick of dynamite goes off.
So crazy Niall realizes he has the solution. Jumps up, realizing this is like some sort of demon that we don't know if it'll be killed by the dynamite. Is going to run towards him and like hold up the ankh in front of him in the hope that it's some sort of item that controls him and doesn't knock me unconscious.
Okay. So
I have
yeah.
doing this.
I mean, you run up and the creature stops for a moment, looking at you, looking at the ankh. And then it reaches out with one mighty paw and tries to slam the ankh through your face.
Cool.
What are you doing about
cool.
this?
So if I succeed in the power roll and I don't get any like cool powers?
No.
Like teleportation or anything? No?
No.
Okay.
Are you sure you want to use these dice? You want to use them?
Go on, we'll give him a chance to redeem them. So he's going to try and hit me with his paw. Can I just try
Oh, no, he's trying to hit you with the ankh.
Okay, so can I try and, like, slip his blow and just hit him with the ankh in the face?
You certainly can. So give me a fighting brawl roll. And it's going to need to be a good
25.
One.
25, cool. 8.
Hey. Hey. Oh wow! Okay, so yes,
I did it.
Somehow, despite the fact that this thing is so much more powerful than you, you slam the ankh into it.
Leave it hanging on the dynamite that's hanging out its mouth. try and run away.
And oh gosh, yes, it has failed its power roll. So yeah, it just slumps backwards onto the ground. I mean, you know, its eyes aren't rolling up, but it does seem to be convulsing as the ankh is in contact with it. And the stick of the fuse on the dynamite, there is now maybe a centimeter left.
So the entire time this has been happening, I just stood perfectly still. So no, its vision works on movement. That's why the stealth roll worked. And then I'm just gonna opportunist wise, like I see it knocked down. I'm like, Niall, we must escape immediately. Get out of here.
So as he's doing that, can I just coolly lick my fingers and try and quench the fuse?
Then I think because you've just taken an action, it's going to be touch and go whether you've got enough time here.
Okay.
So I want you to make a hard dexterity roll here.
Oh boy!
So against half of your dexterity to see whether
you
can do
25.
This in time.
13.
Fire.
So yes, you get there just in time, and you manage to put the dynamite out.
I'm still running, by the way.
My head just pokes up from behind the altar. Is it over? Can I come out?
Somebody get a photo or write this down quick. We're gonna make loads of money.
Oh my God! You just think the freak show money. I've seen Barnum. Tie that thing up. We're taking with us.
Somebody tie him up.
Is the kid actually dead? Or is he just impaled still?
The kid is so dead.
Oh, very dead. Okay. there are degrees of dead, and he's all the way there.
There are bits of the kid all over the place. Oh.
And you're just talking about making money? Okay, fair enough. It's good.
So just to wrap things up quickly.
We'll call it the kid memorial freak show.
So I'm going to... I've pulled the fuse from the dynamite. Going to go out to the front of the cavern, lay dynamite against the door, and then maybe your fine marksmanship could shoot it from a distance?
Nothing could come.
Sounds like a great idea.
Then I think what I'd like to wrap this up, because we only have a couple of minutes left, you've got enough shots that you're going to hit it eventually. Let's just see whether it does what you want. So what I'd like at this stage is a group luck roll. Whoever has got the lowest luck out of the bunch of you, I want you to roll against your luck, and the entire survival of your group depends on this roll. So don't fuck it up.
I've 40 luck.
40.
40.
So who wants to take responsibility for getting you all killed?
Yeah, you've got zero luck. Who's feeling lucky?
I think Owen's dice. Those dice...
have gone.
Must decide our fate.
I've almost rolled 303 rolls. right, let's see what we get against 40. Oh boy, 65.
Okay, well, the good news is after two or three shots, Dan does manage to hit the dynamite, and it goes boom. And it puts a nice big crack in the big stone that's holding you in here. And the crack goes up to the ceiling. And it spreads across, and it spreads through the walls, and it goes right through the structure. Bits of stone are beginning to rain down on you. You know, the entire ceiling is crashing in. You have about one action, I think, in which to make your peace with death. What are you doing?
You know, I think it's going to be all right.
If I stay perfectly still, I'll be just fine. It's worked so far.
I shoot Bunty in the head.
It's a mercy killing. All of us.
I treat Stooges slapped Dan for fucking it up.
And with that, well, there are now a bunch of new bodies entombed here, possibly for all eternity.
Bunty and friends.
And thank you very much, everyone. We have been How We Roll Live. My name is Joe Trier. I've been joined today by some fantastic players. First of all, by Owen Falvey.
Thank you, folks.
By Dirk the Dice from the Grognard Files.
Adios, amigos.
By David Honecker.
Arrivederci.
By Curran Javray. I will get your name right. Thank you. And by our esteemed keeper, one of the good friends of Jackson Elias, one of the writers of the game Call of Cthulhu itself, we have Scott Dorwood.
Oh, cheerio.
And if you have enjoyed our little show, we do have a weekly podcast where we put out a similar game to this, more long-form storytelling, and obviously we also edit it all up. We do a lot of production to make it sound more like a radio drama. So there's sound effects, there's music.
I feel lots of roles there too. Lots of roles.
So if you've enjoyed today, please come and check us out, howwerollpodcast.com, at HWR on Twitter, and hopefully see you soon.
Thanks, folks.
All right, thank you very much.